Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome. At this hour, Pope Francis is in Portugal. Tomorrow he will celebrate in Fatima on the 100th anniversary of the apparition of Our Lady of Fatima. As part of the celebration, he'll canonize Jacinta and Francisco Marto, two of the children to whom Mary appeared during those apparitions. In addition, tomorrow, May 13th, is the 36th anniversary of the shooting of Pope John Paul II in St. Peter's Square, and Pope St. John Paul believed that day Our Lady saved his life. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and in honor of the many celebrations of Mary this weekend, we devote 2 hours to the Mother of Jesus, the Mother of God today. In our second hour, Carlo Broussard will join us to find the Bible blueprint for Marian dogmas. In this hour, Norbertine Father Sebastian Walsh joins us to discuss Our Lady of Fatima. If you have any questions at all about Our Lady of Fatima, please give us a call, 888-318-7884. That's 888-318-7884. Father Sebastian Walsh is, as I said, a Norbertine canon of the Abbey of St. Michael in the Diocese of Orange, California, where he's a professor of philosophy for the seminary program. After completing his studies here at Thomas Aquinas College in California, he continued his studies at the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C., receiving a license in philosophy. He later attended the Pontifical University of St. Thomas at Rome, the Angelicum, where he received a master's in sacred theology and a doctorate in philosophy. Father Sebastian Walsh, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Cy. It's a pleasure as always.
So will you and your brothers at St. Michael's celebrate in any special way the feast or the 100th anniversary of Mary's first appearance in Portugal at Fatima?
Well, first of all, of course, we'll have the Mass in honor of her, and by providence, just by chance, and I mean by providence, it was assigned to me for tomorrow, so I was very happy about that. I have as the parish at which I celebrate Mass every Sunday, Our Lady of Fatima down in San Clemente, and then to be just assigned by chance, you know, but really by providence, the Mass for tomorrow, I'm very excited about that. And then, of course, we'll have our May crowning, which is a beautiful thing to do. The main thing is, of course, to honor Our Lady's Immaculate Heart. And we Norbertines as a community, we have as a habitual honor of Our Lady, every single Saturday during ordinary time, we celebrate a devotional, a votive Mass of Our Lady every single Saturday. And at the end of every single hour of the office, whenever we pray 7 times a day, we finish with a Marian prayer or hymn. So devotion to Our Lady is essential to our whole order, not just to our abbey.
And so let's say someone's listening now and maybe has a marginal understanding of Fatima, knows that it happened or in 1917, or maybe doesn't know about Fatima at all. What is it all about?
Sure. Well, tomorrow we'll mark the 100th anniversary of the first time that the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to 3 little shepherd children. Their names were Lucia dos Santos. I think she was 11 or 12. Then she had 2 cousins, Francisco Marto, who was 9, and Jacinta Marto, who was 7. Very small children. And she appeared to them on 6 different occasions between May 13th and October 13th. And during that time, she gave them different messages, instructing them about very important spiritual matters that they were to share with the rest of the world. And in order to give credibility to their message, she promised on the last apparition, which took place on October 13th, that she would perform a miracle for all to see. And so in anticipation of this miracle, both those who were faithful and also those who were atheists and did not believe came to the place, Cova de Ira, in Portugal, near Fatima, Portugal, and they came to see whether or not there would be a miracle. And on that day, it was a very rainy day. It was so rainy, in fact, that for hours it was pouring, just torrential rain. And everyone, even though they had umbrellas, were soaked to the bone. Their clothes were completely soaked and muddy. But just at noon, the clouds began to part, and the sun could be seen. But instead of being brilliant and blinding, it looked just like a silver plate, easy to look at with no difficulty, which already caused astonishment and wonderment among all the people. And then the sun started to dance and illuminate the sky with multiple colors. And at one point, the sun seemed to dislodge itself from the heavens and crash towards the earth and get bigger and bigger, which caused a lot of fright, and a lot of people cried out, asking for penance, for forgiveness for their sins. But then, just then, the sun went back to its ordinary spot and then returned to its normal appearance. And 70,000 people witnessed that miracle. And even the atheists that were present confessed it. There's, for example, there was an atheist newspaper called El Secolo, which is a Portuguese newspaper, and it was intending to go to manifest once again the absurdity of the Catholic faith. And they have, to this day, you can go online and find the article in Portuguese, and you can translate it into English with Google Translate these days, speaking about the events that happened. So an atheist newspaper published this account.
Well, okay, so now, though, 100 years later, people have found many ways of dismissing what happened. And among them is the idea that it was just a mass hallucination, that the whole miracle of the sun was a mass hallucination.
Yes. Well, a lot of, you know, qualified psychologists have looked into this, and one of the findings they had was that, first of all, mass hallucinations don't work in such a way that they work on everyone. They only work on some people. In other words, if you're not the sort of person that's given to those things, then even if a whole bunch of people are seeing something, there'll always be some people that look and don't notice it and don't see it. They're not affected. But in this case, there was not a single exception. In other words, it wasn't that you know, some people saw it and some people didn't. Everyone saw it, and everyone saw essentially the same thing. A second thing that mitigates against that is the fact that after the miracle took place, it took place for about 5 minutes, after the miracle took place, everyone's clothes were completely dry and clean. And that's something you can't hallucinate, right? That's not something you can hallucinate. You can't just hallucinate and come home and your clothes are still, clean and dry when before they were muddy and wet, you know. And then third of all, some of the witnesses of the miracle of Fatima were not actually there to see the miracle. There was a small village nearby, a group of people, a few dozen people, who witnessed the same miracle, not even realizing that it was happening and that the other gathering was taking place. So they were independent witnesses, so you couldn't call them part of the crowd for a mass hallucination either. So there are too many pieces of objective evidence that mitigate against any kind of interpretation like a mass hallucination.
And isn't it a motherly thing to dry clean your clothes for you? That's actually a
dried and pressed by the Mother of God herself.
I know. That gives you an idea of, really, I'm serious about that in a way it sounds.
Our Lady takes care of even the slightest details of our lives. That's really true.
Yeah, she loves us.
She didn't want them to have even she didn't want them to be inconvenienced by the fact they came out in the rain. You know, it's so beautiful.
If you have questions about Our Lady of Fatima, Father Sebastian Walsh is here to answer those questions today. Tomorrow is the 100th anniversary of the first apparition of Our Lady, and those apparitions continued until October 17th of 1917. And there will be many celebrations throughout that time period, culminating in on October 17th of this year. 888-318-7884 is our number. We'd love to talk with you about Our Lady of Fatima. We'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Summer is coming, and with it, teens, young adults, and even adult friends and family will find themselves with a lot of free time on their hands. The good news is that Catholic Answers has something to fill up that free time. Two great graphic novels that combine visual excitement and quirky humor with philosophy and theology. The Truth is Out There and its sequel, The Big Picture, follow two heroes as they travel through time and space, discovering truths about life, God, the church, and eventually embarking on an exciting adventure along the timeline of salvation history. These books are so appealing, we guarantee if you just leave them sitting around, someone in the household will pick them up and read, and better yet, enjoy and learn from them. The truth is out there, and the big picture are also great catechetical tools for youth ministry, college classrooms, campus outreach, high school programs, RCIA, and parish family programs, and more. The truth is out there and the big picture are available individually or packaged together at a very special price. Get yours today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or visiting a good Catholic bookstore near you.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In John 14, Jesus prepared his apostles for the prospect of his leaving them, assuring them that he would come back again and take them to himself. "Where I am going," he said, "you know the way." Thomas responded, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus responded, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Of course, at this time, they didn't know what he was about to endure for them. We do, and hear such words in the context of his passion, death, and resurrection. Still, how often do they grab hold of us? They did see him again after his resurrection, and later he came back for them. But except for St. John, it was after each one of them was martyred. Just as he was the way for them, so he is for us, but not without the cross in our lives. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're discussing Fatima, Our Lady of Fatima, and her apparitions. The 100th anniversary of the first apparition at Fatima is tomorrow. And Nick says, "I said the 17th of October. I meant to say the 13th of October." And we're going to have to go back and listen to the tape, Nick. I'm not convinced that you're right, but apparently I said okay, you are right. Okay, 17th of October, I said, but it is the 13th of October where the final apparition took place, and that will be the culmination of the celebrations this year. Today and tomorrow, the Pope is in Fatima, in part to celebrate that 100th anniversary, and in part to canonize Jacinta and her brother. Marto. I wanted to ask you this, Father. So you told us what happened at Fatima, but a lot of times there's a lot of stuff about the message of Fatima. What is the meaning? What is it all about? So can you give us just a brief synopsis of what's the message of Fatima?
Absolutely. That's the most important thing, because Our Lady didn't come just to show off. She came to give a message. And she did some very remarkable things. At one point, she showed the children hell. Can you imagine showing a 7-year-old girl hell? Now, why would Our Lady do something like that, so remarkable, unless the message were extremely important? Why would the Our Lady perform a miracle of the sun so tremendous and frightening, too, unless she wanted us to listen to the message? And there are really three parts to Our Lady's message. The first part is Our Lady called for penance. And penance here means not necessarily great, acts of mortification and fasting and, cold showers and sleeping on glass. Penance here means primarily amending our lives, going to confession, and then doing our duties according to our state of life and following God's law, just following the commandments, right? That's the most important part. Here's what our Lord explained to Sister Lucia. He said simply, "The sacrifice required of every person is the fulfillment of his duties in life and the observance of my law. This is the penance that I now seek and require." So no one can excuse themselves by saying that great penances are beyond them. It's just the simple penances of accepting the sufferings that come to you, of doing what your duty in life requires, and following the commandments. So that's part one. The second part Our Lady asked for is prayer, especially in reparation to her Immaculate Heart. And that prayer especially is the rosary. She asked that all mankind, all the faithful, especially beginning with all the faithful, we say the rosary every day. That's a beautiful thing. Once when I was a young man, my spiritual director gave me as a penance to say the rosary every day for the rest of my life. You might think, gosh, what did you do, Father? But it wasn't anything I'd done. He saw that I was at a point where I could make a very important choice like that, but he wanted me to be bound to it so that I would always fulfill it. And I'm always grateful to him. He just died about a year ago, Father Gerard Steckler, pray for his soul. And so I said the rosary every day for the rest of my life since that time in honor of Our Lady of the Rosary. Huh? And then finally, the last part of Our Lady's message is that our Lord wanted to establish devotion to her Immaculate Heart. And there was a special way in which she wanted that devotion to be expressed. It's called the First Saturday Devotion. So Our Lady said this, that I promise to assist at the hour of death with the graces necessary for salvation all those who on the first Saturday of 5 consecutive months go to confession, receive Holy Communion, and recite the Rosary and keep me company for 15 minutes while meditating on the mysteries of the Rosary with the intention of making reparation to me. So confession, communion, and the Rosary, all for the sake of making reparation to Our Lady. If we do that on 5 consecutive Saturdays, first Saturdays, then Our Lady promises to give us all the graces that we need for salvation. And she also promised to bring peace to the world. So this devotion to Our Lady's Immaculate Heart is at the very heart, no pun intended, the very heart of Our Lady's request. This is why our Lord wanted her to come into the world and give this message, to bring peace to aching mankind. One time, Sister Lucia asked our Lord, why didn't he convert Russia just himself? Why did he demand that the Holy Father consecrate Russia to Our Lady's Immaculate Heart before it would be converted? That was another part of the message. And John Paul II did that. And our Lord said to Lucia, Sister Lucia, because I want the world to realize that this grace came to them through the Immaculate Heart of my mother. It's that important. So it's a beautiful message, and I hope that every faithful Catholic takes it to heart, and I hope all those who are listening are willing to take it to heart. There's a beautiful promise Our Lady made to Lucia. She said, I promise salvation to those who embrace devotion to my Immaculate Heart, and their souls will be loved by God as flowers placed by me before his throne. Isn't that beautiful?
It is beautiful. And these things that were prophesied and were kind of shown, have they been fulfilled, Father? Yes.
So besides the actual miracle of the Son, there were prophecies. One of the prophecies was that World War One was going to, it happened at the very end of World War One, and one of the prophecies was that World War One was going to end right away. Lucia, at the end of the miracle, said the war will be over. She was very delighted, the war will be over. But then another prophecy was, if mankind does not cease offending our Lord, then two more things will happen. There will be another war greater and worse than the First World War, and that will be signaled by a strange and unknown light. And in fact, that's exactly what happened at the very beginning, the dawn of World War II. The aurora borealis came all the way down south through all of Europe and into the United States. It could be seen all the way through the northern hemisphere. And right after that, World War II broke out. And then the other part was that Russia would spread her errors throughout the world and many nations would be annihilated. And that's exactly the other thing that happened, the other part of the prophecy which was fulfilled. And so we saw it all take place and come to pass just as Our Lady predicted. So besides just the miracle, we had a prophecy, and you can't attribute that to mass hallucination either.
No, indeed, Father. Shall we take some calls, Father?
Absolutely.
All right, we go to Nathan, in Tomball, Texas, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Nathan, your question for Father Sebastian Walsh.
Hi, y'all. Thanks so much for having me.
Sure.
I'm going to make a very quick preface by saying I'm a convert about 3 years. Personally attest to the incredible power of the rosary. So I don't want this to come across in any way as if I don't want to undermine our Blessed Mother because, or in my belief in our Blessed Mother, because she is sure. very dear to me. It's more about the operation and the operation itself. Yeah. So the idea of her of reparation to her Immaculate Heart, I think yeah. I think my former Protestant self is getting a little caught up on it.
Yes.
In the sense that, why is she asking for us to make reparation to her and not to God? Does it make
yes.
sense?
That's an excellent question. That's a really good question. That's an excellent question. Okay. It's interesting because Our Lady is carrying out Jesus's wish. She specifically says, when she asks for reparation to her Immaculate Heart, she specifically says it's Jesus's request. So Jesus wants this. And if you stop and think about it, here's the first thing. There's no heart that gives Jesus more love and more praise and more glory in heaven than hers. By far, of all the angels and saints, in fact, you could say more than all of them combined, Jesus receives love from her heart and glory from her heart. And yet her heart was so closely united to his heart that even though she had no sin, and therefore no reason why she should have to suffer, she accepted in her own heart all the wounds due to the punishment of mankind, through her compassion of watching her son be suffer and be tortured and everything else. Her compassion was so great. So that's the first thing, that our Lord would want her heart to be comforted. It's natural for our Lord to think about his mother and for him to think, gosh, you know, I want her heart to be consoled. It'd be, in certain sense, it might be a little bit strange for our Lord to say, I want my heart to be consoled. Our Lord was always thinking about others, and especially his dear mother. The second part of that answer is this. We might ask the general question, why does God want to bring about grace and salvation through instruments? In other words, through other persons. Why does God just directly act in human souls? And that's something that's kind of at the root of the difference between Catholics and Protestants. Catholics believe that God wills to use human instruments to bring about salvation and grace to others, not just our Lord, not just God directly. There's an interesting passage in the Gospel of St. Matthew, and there's a parallel passage in Mark and Luke, where it talks about men that carry their paralyzed friend before Jesus, and they have to open a hole in the roof. They lower his body down there on the mat. And it says, Jesus saw their faith, and then he turned to the man and he said, I forgive you your sins. In other words, Jesus forgave the sins of the man because of the faith of his friends. And in the same way, God wants to use his mother, above all creatures, as the principal instrument for bringing about salvation to us. And the reason for that is that if salvation and grace come to us from one another, we won't love God less in heaven, because we'll see that everything, all grace, comes from God. But we will love one another more, because we'll also see that that grace came through one another. And this is part of God's wisdom. He wants us to love one another as much as possible in the next life. He wants us to love his mother so much, just the way he loves his mother. And he wants each of us who have received some grace from the other to have love for one another. And that's why God uses us as instruments, and why it's important to God that we do things like make reparation to the heart of his own mother. So, does that make sense? Is that it's a little bit of a long answer, but...
No, I am speechless, Father. That nailed pretty much every question I didn't even put into words. Thank you. Wow.
Great. All right. There you go. I'm glad that helped.
Thank you very much, Nathan, for that call and for the wow for Father Walsh. I'm with Nathan. I really appreciated that answer. God doesn't do things the way that we do them. That's one of the hard things that of always deepening our conversion to realize his ways are not our ways, Father.
It's true.
All
Thank
right.
goodness.
Amen to that. Norbertine Father Sebastian Walsh is our guest this hour. We're discussing Our Lady of Fatima, the 100th anniversary of the first apparition of Our Lady of Fatima in Portugal is tomorrow. The Pope right now is in Portugal celebrating that fact. We'll celebrate too when we come back on Catholic Answers Live.
Call us now with your question.
Hello?
On Catholic Answers Live.
Raymond Arroyo.
Part of the success we've had on the world over, I attribute to the audience, my relationship with Mother Angelica, and her teaching me that when you sit with someone, you talk to them, and you create an environment where they will tell you things they wouldn't tell anyone else. That ease, that humor, that warmth, she gave me that, and that's what I try to impart and make a part of every interview we do on the world over.
The world over. Tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
As legend tells it, 500 years ago, a disaffected Augustinian priest nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Wittenberg Cathedral. The evidence that he actually did this is pretty thin, but Martin Luther's objections to Catholic teachings concerning purgatory and indulgences set off a series of countless ruptures that the Church suffers to this very day. The faithful Catholic wants to be God's instrument in healing these ruptures, but may not know where to begin. Join us this September 28th to 30th as we tackle the topic at Catholic Answers 4th National Apologetics Conference, the Reunion of All Christians, a lively and inspiring conference designed to ignite and inform your faith. We've got an all-star lineup of speakers guaranteed to fire you up. Catholic historian Steve Weidenkopf, apologist Mark Brumley, apologist Devin Rose, plus all of your favorite Catholic Answers apologists. This is an event you don't want to miss. This is where it all begins. Join us this September for a conference that is sure to leave you wanting more. Seats are still available, but they're going fast. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 1-888-291-8000 today to register. That's CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. A very exciting weekend. The 100th anniversary of the first apparition at Fatima and the canonization of two new saints for the Church, Francisco and his... Why can I only remember one of them at a time?
Jacinta.
Jacinta. It's like I remember Jacinta and I forget Francisco. I remember Francisco. I forget Jacinta. Father Sebastian Walsh is our guest this hour. Father, you have you're a graduate of Thomas More College here.
Thomas Aquinas College.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to get something right today. Thomas Aquinas College. You got something coming up there?
I do. That's right. There's here at the Orange County Cathedral, so Christ Cathedral campus, there's going to be a Regent Scholarship breakfast for anyone who's in the area, in the Orange County area, who'd like to come to that. That's a great fundraiser to raise money for scholarships for students at Thomas Aquinas. It's a great need because most of our students receive financial aid, and in fact, a lot of financial aid. You know, you're from big Catholic families. People need financial aid. So Leonardo De Filippis will be speaking. I'll be speaking there on the nature of Catholic education. And so anyone who'd like to is invited. One way you can just sort of look it up online is just type into Google Regents Scholarship Breakfast. Regents Scholarship Breakfast, and something will come up, and you'll see Thomas Aquinas College will give you all the contact information. So if anyone wants to come to that, that'd be great. It's a great cause. So thanks for letting me announce that.
Oh, thank you very much, Father. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-31-TRUTH. If you would like to discuss the apparitions of Our Lady at Fatima with Father Sebastian Walsh, we go now to Sean in Albany, New York, listening on 1480 AM. Sean, your question for Father Walsh.
Yes, hello. I guess I just have a couple of questions, but you know, when the Bible says that there's one mediator between God and man, that man Christ Jesus, how can we be sure that these apparitions are not demonic?
Yes, that's an excellent question. That's a great question. Okay. So the first thing is, we don't, as Catholics, we do not believe that Mary is a mediator which goes parallel to or aside from Jesus. The way the fathers of the Church expressed it, they said just as Christ is the head, Mary is the neck. In other words, her mediation depends upon, is completely subordinated to the mediation of Christ. So it might be put this way, Christ is a mediator between God and man. Mary is the mediator between the rest of us and Christ, if you wanted to put it that way, huh? So it's not denying what's said very clearly and which is absolutely true in St. Paul's epistle to Timothy there. There is one mediator between God and man and no one else. And therefore, any mediation would be a participation in Christ's mediation. It wouldn't replace it or be a parallel path. Okay, that's the first thing. And Catholics need to be very clear about that when we say that Mary is a mediator, a mediatrix. Now, with regard to how would we know that these apparitions are not demonic, well, if you're a Catholic, of course, you have the reliability of the Church's testimony. The Church has investigated it, and through the divine authority of the Church has pronounced it to be the kind of apparition which is worthy of belief. And so the Church investigates many apparitions. There's many, many, you can imagine, reported apparitions, and not all of them are approved by the Church. In fact, some of them are stated by the Church to be falsifications. And so that's one thing if you're a Catholic. Now, if you're not a Catholic and you're still wondering, well, if I can't rely on the authority of the Church, what can I rely on? Well, again, there we can point to two things. The first thing we can point to is that there was a great miracle done. Now, the devil can't perform miracles except unless God were to give permission for something like that. And God wouldn't give permission for the devil to make such a miracle in front of 70,000 people. That's the first thing. The second thing is that the devil can't know the future, and therefore true prophecies of distinct future events, they're very distinct and accurate, not just sort of vague sort of generalizations, but very distinct prophecies like there will be an unknown light which will light up the world right before another great war, or a prophecy like Russia will spread all of her errors throughout the whole world, and nations will be annihilated, and there will be many martyrs, and the Holy Father will have much to suffer. Distinct prophecies are the sorts of things that the devil can't know, and so that's another sign of the divine origin of the message from Our Lady of Fatima.
How does that strike you, Sean?
I guess the one thing that you said was that you said that God would not allow Satan to delude 70,000 people. Now, the Bible says that in the end times, he's going to be allowed to delude many people. So how can you, that seems to contradict the scripture.
Yeah, you're right about that, that it says at the end times that Satan will be able to perform miracles. That's true. That's true that at the end times, that Satan will be able to perform miracles and deceive even, it would seem to deceive even the elect. Nevertheless, the miracles that are described that Satan is supposed to perform do not include miracles of the heavenly bodies. Those miracles are attributed in the book of Revelation and in the Gospels to God. So when it speaks about the miracles in the sun and the moon and the stars, those are always in the scriptures attributed to God. So that kind of miracle is something reserved to the Lord, so that it's still very scriptural, founded on scripture.
Thank you very much, Sean. Lots of callers, so I will continue moving on. Kevin in Washington, D.C., listening to EWTN on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Kevin, your question for Father Walsh.
Father, how are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm still wondering about the sins that you confessed to get a daily recitation of the rosary for the remainder of your life.
I promise you, it was a venial sin, really, but still. Don't worry. I've committed lots of sins that deserve that, so don't worry. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner, so I deserved it and worse for sure.
Well, Father, I love the messages of Fatima, reparation and penances and more rosaries and I just love the whole Fatima message, even the prophecies. The one thing that I'm confused about, because probably I haven't studied it enough, is I guess the controversy surrounding the third secret, whether or not it has actually been revealed. And I really don't care much about these things, but I do remember reading a letter purportedly written saying essentially, just dire catastrophe worldwide. I just remember one line saying, the living will be jealous of the dead. And I don't know where that stands and where the Catholic Church is in regard to that.
Yeah. Okay, good. That's an excellent question. Well, there's actually two questions there. One question is whether or not there are any prophecies about, you know, the possibility of very apocalyptic, you know, events in the future. And the other is whether or not the third secret of Fatima was one of those. So there's two distinct questions there. With regard to the third secret of Fatima, since the secret was revealed while Sister Lucia was alive and well, in order to avoid exactly this problem where people were claiming that the third secret had not been fully revealed or that it was misinterpreted by, you know, the church authorities, the secret was published, and then it was directly asked of Sister Lucia, not once but multiple times, whether or not this is a complete text of the third secret, number one, and secondly, whether or not the interpretation of the secret was accurate. And Sister Lucia said very clearly every time, this is the whole text, there's nothing else to be published, and the church's interpretation is the correct interpretation. In fact, she said that it was mine to receive the secret, but it was the church's to interpret it. So Sister Lucia was very clear about the authority of the church in interpreting that third secret and the completeness of it. So I know that people are out there and they want to say there's something else in the secret. Look, there are other prophecies from other approved apparitions like Our Lady of Akita in Japan that do have some very, very dire things to say about the future. And why look any farther than the book of Revelation where it says that they'll say to the mountains and the hills, fall upon us and cover us, right? There's going to be very difficult times ahead somewhere in the future of the church and the future of the world, no doubt. That's a different question about whether or not the third secret of Fatima predicted all those things. What Fatima predicted was a century of suffering, especially for the Holy Father and the church, and that clearly took place throughout the world, most especially in Russia. And now we start to see Russia turning back again to its Christian roots, which is a beautiful thing. So thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Kevin, for that call. We'll take a quick break, and we'll have more on Fatima from Father Sebastian Walsh on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Keep that dial right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Evangelization is an urgent priority, and the reason why is clear. The salvation of souls depends on it. The most influential evangelist of all time was Jesus Christ himself, the original proclaimer of the gospel. Because of his ministry, billions of people down through history have embraced the good news, and it all started with Jesus' own proclamation of the faith. That's why Catholic Answers has just published a new book by Diocesan Director of Evangelization, Eric Sammons. He realized that if we're serious about spreading the gospel, the first place we should look is to the original master evangelist, Jesus himself. In the old evangelization, Sammons goes back to the source, taking a look at what Jesus did and didn't do when he preached the good news. In case after case, Sammons discovers truths that, even 2,000 years later, can help us make new disciples. He makes these truths concrete and accessible, showing how the saints practiced them and offering practical tips for putting them to use. To make your donation and get a free copy of Eric Sammons' new book on how to evangelize like Jesus, visit Catholic.com and click the How to Evangelize Like Jesus banner. Or call us toll-free at 888-291-8000. That's the How to Evangelize Like Jesus banner at Catholic.com or call toll-free 888-291-8000.
Got questions? Visit us today at Catholic.com.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
100 years tomorrow, 100 years to the first apparition to the children at Fatima. Tomorrow we celebrate that 100 years, and so we are devoting both hours to the Mother of God today, and we're really enjoying a wonderful conversation with Father Sebastian Walsh, on particularly on the apparitions at Fatima and what Our Lady had to say there. You know what, Father, I wanted to say, I don't think you ever gave the date for the event coming up for Thomas Aquinas College.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you for reminding me. I appreciate that. So the date of that is going to be this next Thursday, May 18th. So like I said, just look up Regent Scholarship Breakfast online, Google or something. The date will be May 18th. It's a Thursday, and it'll happen in the morning, Regent Scholarship Breakfast. So anyone who's interested in going to that, it might be a little bit short notice, but it'll be worth it. I promise you it'll be worth it. I'll be giving a talk on Catholic education. And then also Leonardo De Filippis will be giving a very beautiful talk. He's a Shakespearean actor, and he gives excellent talks. It's really nice. So,
well, I'll put in a little,
thank you.
I'll put in a little plug for you, Father, because Father gave our retreat, our annual retreat this year, and it was just beautifully, beautifully preached, Father. It was very much appreciated.
Thank you so much.
We go now to Doug in Trenton, New Jersey, listening on EWTN. Doug, your question for Father Sebastian Walsh.
Hey, how you doing, Father? Doug calling from Trenton. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing well.
Hey, and it was 1917, the first sighting of Mary in Portugal, right?
That's yes. Correct. 1917, May 13th until October 13th.
Okay, and there were supposedly 70,000 people, and the sun was dancing.
That's right. That's the testimony of several newspapers that were present at the time.
Wow, that's amazing. I heard you say about Google translations earlier. If you Google,
thanks very much for that call. Father Sebastian Walsh is our guest this hour. Our topic is...
Right, someone getting right their own private...
yeah. Well, you had a chance to put your plug in, Father. I mean, come on.
I know.
Every caller should probably get a chance to plug their website or whatever they've got to sell. Let's go down to Alex in Cincinnati, Ohio, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Alex, you are on with Father Sebastian Walsh.
Thank you very much. I just want to say this has been a very educational hour so far.
Oh,
I just
great.
Had a quick question, actually, two-part question. The first part is basically, you know, I was wondering if you could speak to the relationship, if any, between the miracle of the sun and Revelation 12, where Mary is described as, you know, a woman in heaven clothed by the sun. And then the second part is really about if you personally see any significance to a celestial event that's going to occur in September 2017. At the end of the month, in the constellation of Virgo, Jupiter will be passing through Virgo, and Virgo will be directly beneath 12 stars, or actually will be 9 stars from the constellation Leo, and 3 planets, you know, which were known to the saints and fathers of stars. And then also the sun will be passing through the phase of Virgo, and the moon will be beneath this constellation's feet. So essentially it's matching, or at least paralleling,
the description of Revelation, yeah.
Yeah,
okay,
and I guess
good.
My question, you kind of mentioned that how God is in charge of miracles regarding celestial bodies, and this being on the heels of the 100th anniversary of Fatima, I thought it was pretty interesting.
Yes. Well, okay. So addressing the second part of your question anyway about the celestial alignment that's described, you know, look, it may be true. I think that, you know, all those things, you've got the constellation Virgo just aligned the way you described. Maybe it's true that all those things have been arranged by God, you know, from advance to signify the fulfillment of the prophecy of Revelation or something like that, or at least to give us a portent in the heavens, something like that. To be honest, I don't know. I couldn't answer that question. Is it beyond God? Is it something unlike what God would do? No. Is it certain? Does it give us certain knowledge that these constellations are aligning up, that something is going to be fulfilled there? I don't know that either. I can say that the meaning of Revelation 12 signifies the glorification of Our Lady in heaven, right, and of the church, the whole church, that being clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head, each of those has a symbolic meaning. The 12 stars, for example, representing the 12 apostles, the sun representing the glory of God, being clothed with the glory of God, the moon under her feet signifying this passing world is now something subject to her. All those things are true, but what I don't have knowledge of, I'm not a prophet, so I can't tell you whether or not those particular celestial events that are happening at the end of September, and I had read about that same thing, whether they signify anything, do they portent anything? I'm not qualified to answer that question, but maybe they will. I've always said this, that Our Lady did do something remarkable on the anniversary of her apparition. Namely, she saved the life of St. John Paul II. So Our Lady Fatima does seem to like to work on anniversaries, so maybe that'll be a sign, an indication of something great she's going to do. But we do know something happens on the anniversary of Our Lady's feast day, her apparition, whether May 13th or October 13th. We do know that no matter what it looks like, bad or good, that it'll be from a loving hand of a mother who cares for us. So we have something always to look forward to with hope as members of the faithful, as children of our Heavenly Mother.
Thank you, Alex, for that call. We go now to Tessie in San Diego, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Tessie, your question.
Oh, hello, Father. Thank you very much. Hi, Tessie. For taking my call.
You're welcome.
A question that I have not been able to answer. And so my question is, when fulfilling the first Saturday, if a person is in a state of grace, can the criterion of confession be omitted if this person's venial sins are forgiven after receiving the Eucharist in the first Saturday Mass?
Oh, I see. That's a good question. As far as I know, Our Lady intended the confession to be for even those who are in a state of venial sin. And I think it's because she wants to encourage us to go to confession monthly. I don't know of any time when Our Lady or Our Lord appeared to Lucia and said that the part about confession can be omitted. She did say she wanted the confession to be done specifically with the intention of making reparation to her. So the confession isn't just for forgiving your mortal sins, it's also an act of reparation. Now, it is also true that it might be not possible to get to confession that day because of other duties or something else, that there aren't priests available, in which case Our Lady would certainly accept, anything in its place. For example, if you could try to get to confession some other day, the week before, the week after, some other day in that week, or if there just wasn't the availability of priests at all, to at least make a confession of your own sins before the Lord, huh? So if there was no opportunity for you to go to confession, Our Lady would certainly accept whatever you could give. Our Lady doesn't expect the impossible, and she's not going to make it impossible for you to fulfill those requirements. So that's what I would say. Now, here's a reason why you should go to confession every month or every 6 weeks or so. One of the conditions for being in a state of readiness for a plenary indulgence is to go to confession within 21 days before or after the indulgence act. So if you go to confession every 6 weeks, then you're always in a condition where you can obtain a plenary indulgence. So I think Our Lady wants, even if we're in venial sin, wants to encourage us to do regular confessions at least every 6 weeks.
Okay, Tessie?
Okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. God bless you.
You're welcome, Tessie.
Thank you. We go to Maria now in Sacramento, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Maria, your question for Father Sebastian Walsh.
Yes.
My question is, it's abortion. Oh, first, Father, I want to thank you for being a priest for Jesus and for all of us.
Please pray for me.
Sure, Father, I do. It's one of the, Our Lady said Russia will spread errors through the world. Is abortion one of the errors? And can we say that, can we apply the word annihilation to all those babies that were killed through abortion? Because a country is made of people. And if we count all the aborted babies, it should make like more than one country with all those millions. That's my question.
That's a good question. I don't know whether or not we might be able to do some historical research. I don't know whether or not Russia was the primary origin of the spread of this idea of abortion. I do know that abortions were extremely common under communist Russia. I think the average Russian woman had 4 abortions. It was horrible. And possibly that was part of the communist agenda as a way of destroying the links between the natural members of the natural human family. That's possible. And certainly more than any nation, in the United States alone, more than 50 million children have been killed through abortion, and throughout the world, hundreds of million. And that doesn't even count the abortifacient contraceptives, which are much more than the surgical abortions. But that being said, even if you don't consider abortion to be part of the prophecy was still fulfilled in the annihilation of many, many actual political nations as well. So one way or another, there's been a lot of sin and a lot of error that has been promulgated through the world through communism, and we still are suffering the effects of it, right? And our nation, we hope, pray for our president, pray that Supreme Court justices are holy and just and protect the most innocent of us, the most innocent children. That for sure we know is Our Lady's intention, whether or not it was part of the message of Fatima.
Maria?
Thank you, Father. God bless you.
And don't forget, you said you'd pray for Father. So thank you very much for that, Maria. You know, I think, Father, sometimes, especially young people, don't understand that global international communism was essentially a form of combat against the church. It was a replacement type of church. It was a godless, it was kind of a godless, imitation of Christianity. And it was vicious and violent and oppressive. And we don't need to add, was Russia responsible for pornography? It's enough, I think, to say that this ideology that hated the church so much and under the efforts of Pope John Paul II in many ways came to a collapse.
Yes.
Father, thanks so much for spending the hour with us talking about this magnificent day that we'll have tomorrow and about these apparitions.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Zion. And let me give a blessing to everyone out there. Per intercessionem Beata Maria Virginis et Omnem Sanctorum, benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendat super vos et mania semper. Amen.
Amen.
Lady Fatima, pray for us.
Amen. Father, again, thank you so much. I hope we'll do this again. And May 18th is the date of that event for Thomas Aquinas College. Coming up next, Carlo Broussard will be here with us to discuss the blueprint for the Marian dogmas. Can we find that in the Bible? Can we look in the Bible and find a blueprint for the Marian dogmas? I'm guessing Carlo's going to go with yes, but we better get him in here to find out. We'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live.